Welcome back to 7-Eleven Junior Hockey Magazine. I'm your host, Tino Retta. Time now for our final CJHL report of the season. The Canadian Junior Hockey League brings together the 117 teams in the nine Junior A leagues involving over 2,500 players from right across the country. To help us recap what has been a very unusual season in 2021, the president of the CJHL, Brent Ladds. Brent, welcome to the show. It has been eventful. It's been unprecedented. There, you can just go on and on with the adjectives. When you look back on your year, how did it go for you and the league in general?
I think it, given everything that was going on, Gino, it hasn't been that bad. It gave us an opportunity to focus on initiatives maybe away from the arena. While a lot of the commissioners, our board members, really worked exceedingly hard to try and get kids on the ice as best they could, being mindful of their social responsibility with medical, health restrictions and everything else. Right. So at times it's hard to believe we're at the end of it, and there wasn't a whole lot done on the ice, but certainly it wasn't from lack of effort.
Something you guys did this year, and you and I were talking about this off air before we got going, was a new program that you guys have continued to foster, and that's the diversity and inclusion program, where it's trying to deal with what's gone on in our society. At the same time, we've been dealing with the pandemic. We're dealing with the acceptance of systematic racism right around the world, quite frankly. And you guys took the opportunity in the pause and play to say, let's start to take steps in the right direction here. Give us a sense of what this program is all about and what you saw happen in it in the last 12 months.
Well, I think the issues of diversity and the focus on diversity and inclusion has grown exponentially outside the framework of the game, you know, politically and socially within different environments. And while we've always maintained that we're, diverse and we're inclusive, if we had to point at a lot of things, I'm not sure there's a lot of things we can point at other than our everyday experience. So in light of what we're doing on the mental health side and trying to create ambassadors within our program to the Canadian Mental Health Association for mental health awareness and treatment and counseling. We also took the same acronym over and see if we could develop something that would parallel that on the diversity and inclusion side. And knowing we didn't have the experience to do that, we reached outside of our program and brought in some people that we thought could help, people that may have been part of the experience of building it in other areas or even experiencing it within their everyday lives. So to that end, we're grateful Junior Hockey Magazine reached out to Jermaine Franklin to help us, and Jermaine's been a great contributor.
He's a graduate from our radio show for many years ago.
Exactly, yes, and you've taught him well. and the National Hockey League Coaching Association, who we've developed a relationship with, has done a great job in terms of, creating awareness within their own association and bringing that experience to our committee through Lindsay Arkin and Michael Hirschfield and Amy Walsh, the executive director of Nova Scotia Hockey Association, headed up the task team for Hockey Canada as they went through the same journey. And our goal is to reach out. We already have had an initial contact with USA Hockey to take a closer look at what they're doing, and also to the National Hockey League to get them to share their experience with us, which will be part of our second phase as we go forward.
I love the fact that you're taking it, because a lot of hockey fans say, wait a minute, hockey's not a racist game. It's a society that's having these racist issues, and hockey is just a part of that society. And so while you're trying to figure out ways to take directions in this, it's not just in the CJHL, but it's also trying to communicate to these players that in their lives, once they get beyond the league, that's an ongoing thing. And that's pretty exciting. All right, let's talk about the league itself. Now that you have this year behind, it looks like we're going to have everybody vaccinated before the fall, get their full two doses. Are we going to see normalcy back in the Canadian Junior Hockey League beginning this fall?
We certainly hope so. I'm going to be on a call later today just to look at that whole aspect of what provisions we'll undertake in case everybody can't get started in the fall at the same time. We went through the same exercise last year, and there's a number of the people that participate in those meetings, the CHL, Hockey Canada, the Hockey Canada members on behalf of the minor hockey programs throughout Canada. And we were very optimistic this time last year that we're going to be starting, you know,
we all were on a regular
basis, you know, in the fall. And, you know, that we share that same optimism as I speak to you now, but anything can happen. And, you know, the possibility of a new variant coming in that we haven't taken into consideration at this point. And that, you know, kind of tells us we have to be extra cautious and have a plan B in place in case it doesn't happen the way you draw it up on the napkin.
Given the 12 months that you've had, there's been an opportunity for some introspection to be able to, instead of just dealing every single day with the issues that are facing you as a league, you can step back and say, let's take a look at the overall league. What, if anything, have you been able to step back and say, here are some changes that we want to make in the CJHL moving forward?
Well, one of them is in the area of player education. And there's that whole question as players graduate from our program and move on into youth sports and the NCAA and programs where they can further their educational and academic development. We've taken a deeper dive to determine whether that's just a normal course of evolution, or whether there's more there that we can do to help players achieve those goals. So we've had a pretty good player education committee that we put together that are looking at what we're doing now. We've conducted various surveys within our communities to see what individual teams are doing. And, you know, to be honest with you, Gino, I think a lot of the things that we envision that we're doing are not happening in all our communities. So we have to make a concerted effort that if people out there need some help from the national level to make sure that those areas of concern are covered, then we're going to provide it for them.
Been providing the leadership for a long time, my friend. Can you believe we've been doing the show now for 30 years, that we've been in a relationship with the CJHL for that long? Is that not crazy as we wrap up season number 30 here?
I think it's a testament to how good a job you all do. And there's a sincerity there. I mean, if you weren't sincere about what you're doing and didn't care, probably wouldn't have lasted 30 years. But, you know, every call that certainly I've been on and when talking to the people from our program that have been on, they've felt welcomed, felt comfortable, and have been able to make sort of honest presentations on behalf of the individuals they represent. So kudos to you guys. Great job.
Well, we appreciate you sharing the journey. Thanks for this, Brent. We appreciate it. Enjoy the off season, as brief as it may be, because you're right back to work pretty soon. Thanks for this. Take care of yourself, my friend.
Take care, Gino. All the best.
That was CJHL President Brent Ladds. And that wraps up our final CJHL report of the season, the Canadian Junior Hockey League. Your future is here. Coming up, who are some of the top candidates to go first overall in the upcoming NHL draft? Our director of scouting, Craig Button, is going to join us to talk about that next. This is the season finale of year number 30 of 7-Eleven Junior Hockey Magazine.